This is Twit.
The counterfeit AirPod business has reached now a significant number, $62.2 million confiscated in the first 9 months of the U.S. government's fiscal year. 360,000 counterfeit wireless headphones seized by customs because they look like AirPods. Customs says that's probably only a fraction of all the fake headphones sold worldwide.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about that because counterfeits are a huge problem, and it's a huge problem for individuals because it's one thing if you say, "Gee, I really want people to think that I've got the $200 AirPods, but I don't want to spend more than $29. I'd much rather buy these knockoffs." The big problem is that when they buy from eBay, they buy from Amazon through like a third party seller, and they think that they're getting AirPods, but they're getting these cheap crap $29 plastic things. But I'm a little bit worried when customs takes on the responsibility of saying, no, this version of the thing you stick in your ear for Bluetooth audio looks too much like Apple's thing you stick in your ear.
Yeah, exactly. Remember with the OnePlus headphones, which were legit, they thought, well, they look too much like a AirPod, so we're going to block them. We're going to seize those.
You'll be in jail.
Yeah. I was saying, if you're trying to fit human ears, most human ears are very, very similar to each other. So if you say, no, you can only definitely be sure to be able to import your earphones if you make them like, I don't know, like square, have like lots of sharp edges that go into your ear.
Yeah. I mean,
that does look like the Apple.
It is, of course, the job of customs to block counterfeits.
Of course.
So they're doing the best they can.
I mean, the Apple AirPods do have a very specific look to them. So it's, you know, compared to every other AirPod, I mean, every other Bluetooth.
Well, you've seen the fake iPhones. I even have one in my office.
They're from Shenzhen.
They really look like an iPhone. Right up to the point where you boot it up and it's running Android. But other than that, it's identical.
And I've seen some where you really have to drill deep down before you break your nose on that glass shut door.
You only find out when you turn out to be a blue bubble. Then you know.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Well, you know, and I think that when they say that Apple's losing $3.2 billion, I doubt it. The question is whether how many of those people would actually buy the full-priced one, compared to the $29 version of it. So
yeah, I didn't quote that number because I think it's, you know. Yeah. That's like when they make a drug bust. They say that's $1 billion worth of heroin. Street value.
I've been scoffing at that since I was like 11 years old and defending myself for like ripping off Electronic Arts games. It's like, okay, first of all, it's not like I'm an 11 year old kid. I would have been able to afford a $49 game. If I had $50 and I spent it on a game, my mom would tan my hide to believe you.
For anyone in graphics, the first thing you stole was Photoshop.
Yeah, so, sure.
Like it's
I would never have bought it otherwise.
Well, I got it with a scanner. You know, like, well, I got my very first one. I got the first one with, from a friend. But soon after that, they bundled it with all the scanners. And so in the early 90s, you could get Photoshop with anytime you bought a scanner, you got Photoshop.
I have to think they must look a little away because they know that they're getting you hooked, Alex. And, you know, you've bought how many copies of Photoshop since? You spent a lot of money on.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. They moved to a subscription model. That's part of the way you get rid of some of that because it's much harder to break the subscription model than it is for, because it's always checking in home. So they've definitely managed that. And, you know, from a software perspective, and we're going a little into a rat hole, but from a software perspective, the companies that had the highest piracy rates also had the highest sales.
Yeah.
So because as soon as you started, you know, you took the software and you started making money with it, and then you were afraid you're going to get, you know, as soon as you have employees, you can't do that anymore because one, you know, frustrated employee calls the software, you know, whatever bureau, and you have a $250,000 fine. So you're super careful about it once you have a company, once you're making money. And so a lot of companies learn to just kind of look the other way. There's tons and tons of books on Maya, and there weren't that many users. I mean, literally, there was some point where we realized the sales of Maya training was more than the sales of the software, you know, and that's when you know that there's a big piracy, you know, thing going on out there, is because people are buying a lot of books for something that they don't own. And so so they moved to the subscription models. But I think that the ones that the companies that were really good at Electric Images, which is what I used, was really good at securing their software. And they also were really didn't last as long.
Nobody bought them. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you didn't have the money to spend $7,500 on a piece of software when you were 22 years old. So right. I was an intern somewhere just to get access to it.
There's another concern, by the way, with counterfeit battery powered devices. You know, is the safety concern. Micah Sargent in our Discord says you don't want in-ear devices catching fire after you accidentally swallow them while listening during sleep. And I think he's got a very
counterfeit
very good point there. Those counterfeit AirPods really don't sit well on the stomach.
It's that little stem. I can feel that one. Oh, boy. Yeah.
The elephant has to pass that and the hat, and that's
going to
be really
problematic. Yeah, exactly.
If I'd gone for the Samsung Buzz, this would have been a much, much simpler process.